What's up, friends? Happy Tuesday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You guys are the absolute best for making the Pack-A-Day Podcast a part of your daily routine. If you're new here, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews, whatever you need to do. Tell a friend about the show. Those things are always appreciated. I have a really fun episode lined up for you today. It's funny. I have, as you guys have known, kind of a full list and notebook of things that I want to go over. And usually I sort of plan in advance and let Tyler know so he can make the thumbnail and things like that. And then there's other days where things just sort of come to me. I'm like, oh, this would be a really fun topic to talk about. Sometimes those ones are the best ones. Hopefully that's the case today as well. But today I kind of wanted to go through, and I just kind of thought of this on a whim, about some of the Packers trades as of late. The Packers have been involved in some really epic decisions when it comes to trading, for better or for worse, some moves that they did make, some that they didn't make. Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Green Bay Packer. Devontae Adams is no longer a Green Bay Packer. And there've been a lot of other interesting moves, Rasul Douglas amongst others, that I figured it would be worthwhile to go back and look at how those trades have aged. Now, some of them, the Rodgers one when it happened, or after the draft when we finally had the full conclusion of it, we talked about it a little bit, but we didn't go into great detail on it. And I figured there's a lot of other ones like the Adams one, the Rasul one, amongst others, that are sort of worth revisiting and just to kind of give us a better indication of how Goody is doing with a large part of his job as a GM. You know, Goody likes to say that roster building is a 365-day-a-year process. And there's, of course, multiple avenues in which you can acquire talent. Free agency is one, and we talk all the time about what Goody has done in the past in free agency, signing guys like Xavier McKinney, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Adrian Amos. We can go on and on, and we evaluate how he has utilized that avenue. The draft is a massive one. This is primarily a draft and develop football team, as most football teams usually are, but they are clearly one of those ones that utilize that avenue the most. And this is something that we constantly talk about Goody and how he does as a GM when it comes to drafting. And that's a huge part of their role. But trading is another key piece of this as well. And he has utilized a variety of trades, draft day trades, trading veterans away. Hasn't really utilized it to trade for veterans, although there was one that we will talk about today. So let's go over it. Let's review it. Now, before we get there, a couple quick pieces of information. I mean, super quick. One, just as a reminder, tomorrow is an open practice to the media, so I will be out at practice tomorrow, and tomorrow's episode will also be kind of wrapping up. I should say today, Tuesday, as you're listening to this, is another Packers practice, and it will be open today, and tomorrow I will have the full breakdown of what happened at practice for you guys on tomorrow's episode, so make sure to check that out. Again, subscribe if you have not already, and then the only piece of news from Monday is that Javon Bullard did in fact sign his contract, which, as I've talked about, I'm not really super concerned about rookie contracts until they give me a reason to be concerned about them, but this does only leave one left, which of course is first round pick Jordan Morgan. My assumption is that deal will get done sooner rather than later, and we'll likely have an update on that in the very near future. All right, that brings us then to the Packers trades and what they've ultimately end up becoming now that we have a little bit more of a benefit of hindsight. Now, the first one we'll start by discussing is the most impactful one over the course of the last couple seasons and really in franchise history, if we're being honest, and that is the Aaron Rodgers trade. Now, again, now that the most recent draft is over, we have the full final details of everything from this trade. The Jets, of course, acquired Aaron Rodgers, and then they acquired draft capital as well, which included Will McDonald IV, who they took in the first round last year. And then they utilized another pick that they got from the Packers to trade back last year and get two seventh round picks, which became Jerick Bernard Converse, as well as Zach Kuntz, the tight end. The Packers, meanwhile, moved up in the first round. So again, the Jets moved down two picks in which they utilized that draft pick to get Will McDonald IV. The Packers utilized it to get another edge rusher, Lucas Van Ness. So they moved up two spots. They also acquired a second round pick last year, which became Luke Musgrave. They drafted Anders Carlson with the draft pick they also got from the Jets. They got Edgerrin Cooper, a second rounder this year. And then they also received picks 168 and 190, which were used in trades to acquire both Jacob Monk and Evan Williams. So those weren't entirely Monk and Williams, acquired in the trade. They had to utilize some other compensation as well, but they got picks that were utilized in those two trades. So again, Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Will McDonald, Jerick Bernard, Converse, and Zach Kuntz. The Packers, LVN, Luke Musgrave, Anders Carlson, Edgerrin Cooper, and then picks that helped them acquire Jacob Monk and Evan Williams. And then one other thing that we should probably mention here, a massive amount of salary cap space that they acquired, or at least cleared up by sending away Aaron Rodgers and clearing up a bunch of space so that they were able to kind of get back to a normal, you know, salary cap structure. They're still fighting some backloaded contracts and things like that, but getting Rodgers' massive cap hit off the books was another key part of that deal. And quite frankly, if that wasn't the case, if the contract wasn't as much of a thing that they needed to navigate, they probably would have received more from the Jets in that deal for Aaron Rodgers if the Jets didn't in turn have to give Aaron a huge deal after that, which they did do. Now, a couple things that we need to talk about here. First of all, is that the Packers could have received a first-round pick from the Jets this year. The Jets were probably wise to put in some injury protection into that deal, in which case if the Aaron Rodgers in this case were to get hurt, they would not have to send out a first round pick to the Packers and instead would send out a second round pick. That turns out to be very wise by the Jets because of course we know Rodgers did get hurt. And for the Packers, you know, you could look at it a little bit with the benefit of hindsight and say, is there anything that they could have done to get the Jets to unprotect that pick and just get the first rounder no matter what? Maybe they wouldn't have been able to move up in the first round last year, or acquire some different picks. Maybe they would have had to have given up a second or third round pick in return. I can understand why the deal got done the way that it did. Certainly Green Bay was hoping that, you know, he would not get hurt. Certainly the Jets were hoping that he would not get hurt. And unfortunately for the Jets, the Packers, and the NFL, and for Aaron Rodgers, he did get hurt. So that left Green Bay with a second round pick instead of a first round pick. They took Edgerrin Cooper with that pick in the second round. But remember, that could have been even better. The other thing we need to discuss here is that it's hard to put a full grade or an evaluation on this deal quite yet, in large part due to the fact that Rodgers did not play a season ago, but also because, I mean, we haven't even seen some of these guys play yet, like an Edgerrin Cooper, Jacob Monk, Evan Williams, Anders Carlson, we'll see. Luke Musgrave is only played like half of last year. And Lucas Van Ness is another player that is still just kind of coming into his own, as is Will McDonald IV. So this trade is going to take time to sort of evaluate as time goes on with all of these different players that are involved in this deal. But on the surface, you can understand why Green Bay was eager to make this move. Clearly, Jordan Love had a huge aspect in this and a huge part in this, and that they wanted to get him playing time. And Brian Gutekunst had talked about that at length, that it was time to get Jordan on the field. They had to evaluate him. They had to see if he could get better and take that next step. Spoiler alert, he did. He took a major step and he became the guy in Green Bay, and in almost in and of itself, right? Imagine you went the other way. Imagine you traded away Jordan Love and kept Aaron Rodgers for another season, and Love went out and had the season that he did last year for another team. Can you even possibly imagine that they traded up in the first round when they still had Aaron Rodgers as an MVP quarterback to get Jordan Love, developed him for three seasons, and then traded him away just to keep Rodgers, and then he went up and tore it up for another team somewhere else and became their franchise quarterback? Well, then, you know, Aaron moves on at some point and you don't have that guy at your disposal. That is worst case scenario. So trading away Aaron just to be able to evaluate Jordan and see that he is the guy, I mean, that is almost a win in and of itself because of what Jordan has become. Now, how good LVN and Luke Musgrave and Edgerrin Cooper and those guys can become can certainly sweeten the deal. And then again, we should just emphasize it even more that salary cap savings is has allowed Green Bay to go out and get guys like Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and bring back some of their own players like a Preston Smith, amongst others. So that salary cap savings has played an integral part in building out this roster as well. And when you add in again, guys like Edgerrin Cooper, Luke Musgrave, and LVN, young, talented, potential playmakers to this roster that are still only getting better, that are on the same timeline as the rest of the roster in Green Bay right now, These are all things that make your roster a little bit better in the long term and right now kind of in the short term. And the last thing that we sort of need to discuss here too is that the Jets, and you can argue here, Aaron Rodgers and everyone, got unlucky with the injury and the Achilles popping on game one. That just sucks. I don't care how much of a, you know, anti-Aaron Rodgers person you are or pro-Packers, anti-Jets. You should never want somebody to go out and pop their Achilles. Like I said, that's bad for the Packers because it affected their draft pick. It's bad for the Jets. It's bad for Aaron Rodgers. And it's bad for the sport of football. Well, I'll say, bar none, last year would have been far more interesting if Aaron Rodgers played. There's no two ways about it. And even if you are cheering against Aaron Rodgers, if that's who you want to be, well, then you have a villain that you are cheering against out there every single week. There's value in that as a fan of football. Like, you always have a team or maybe a group of players or whomever that you're cheering against. It's fun to cheer against the Vikings. It's fun to cheer against the Bears. It is fun to cheer against players that you don't want to see succeed. Maybe fun's the wrong word, but there's a level of intrigue there. And if you are pro Aaron Rodgers and just want to see him continue to succeed, that's better. Either way, him being out there playing for the Jets is better for the NFL. And I kind of wanted to see it too, just from a pure Packers evaluation standpoint. If he went out and tore it up and played at a superhuman level, all right, then that, you know, maybe Green Bay was unwise to get rid of him earlier. Or maybe, you know, Aaron just was that good. If he went out and struggled massively for the Jets, all right, maybe it was Matt LaFleur's system and the rest of this Packers team that was kind of helping Aaron a little bit. Like, it gives you some sort of evaluation of where, you know, the difference between Aaron and the Packers. And we got a piece of that by understanding that, hey, life went on without Aaron Rodgers. The Packers just went right along back to the divisional round, unfortunately still losing to the 49ers. But you get my point. They continued on just as things were normal. And clearly the development of Jordan Love had a lot to do with that. But would Aaron have been the same? Would he have been just as good in New York as he was in Green Bay? That's a key piece of the evaluation that we just didn't get. So like I said, it's going to take some time for us to evaluate this trade in the long term, but you can see already why this is paying dividends for Green Bay. No, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, but regardless of whether you wanted Aaron to get hurt, to succeed or not, nobody wants to see him get hurt. But my point being in this entire injury situation is when you do have a 40-year-old quarterback, there is a higher likelihood of injury. As the New York Jets make that trade, and one of the reasons they wanted those injury protections in there is because they understand the risk that they are taking on by grabbing a 40-year-old quarterback. And Green Bay understands that there would have been risk if they kept Aaron, and that they are getting rid of some of that risk by trading him away and moving on with a younger quarterback who's less likely to maybe have some of those injuries. So all of that plays a part into this. This has clearly not gone the way that the Jets had wanted it up until this point. And for Green Bay, it's been a great start, but Musgrave, Van Ness, and Edrian Cooper specifically will go a long way in defining as to whether or not this was an unbelievable home run for the Packers, or it just ultimately gave them the access to Jordan Love, but the picks that they got in return ultimately didn't amount to a bunch. And I don't think that's going to be the case because Musgrave already seems very good. Edrian Cooper, I'm very bullish on, and I still think LVN is going to take a major step moving forward. But like I said, we're going to have to kind of wait this one out a little bit to give it that full evaluation. I'm not going to do every draft trade because there's a lot of draft trades that take place. But I think last year's draft trade with the Lions and then subsequently with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a really important one here to mention as well. Last year, the Packers traded pick 45 to the Detroit Lions for pick 48 and 159. Basically, they picked up pick 159 for moving down just three spots. And then they moved from pick 48 to pick 50, moving down two spots, and picked up pick 179. On the surface, whatever, right? That doesn't seem that noteworthy. They picked up 159 and 179 for moving down five spots. Cool. Good for you. But this is a pretty interesting trade, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past. But at pick 45, the Lions moved up and selected safety Brian Branch. It's a pretty good pick. It's a great pick for Detroit. He's turned out incredibly well, and he already was a big-time playmaker for them a season ago. Fits that slot safety corner, your slot corner safety position hybrid perfectly, fits their def- you know, their defense perfectly and was a player, quite frankly, that Green Bay had a ton, or Green Bay fans had a ton of interest in, that they thought Brian Branch should be a perfect fit with the Packers. They needed more safeties, and Green Bay said, no, we're good. We're going to trade away. It felt very similarly to when they're on the clock this year in round two, or like, you know, potentially to get Cooper DeJean, and they trade out. And, you know, in the first round when DeJean's there and they don't take him, it felt very similar last year when they're at pick 45, Brian Branch is there and Green Bay trades out of it. And of course they trade down with Detroit, and now Detroit takes Brian Branch in like classic Packers format, the guy that everyone wants, they trade out and somebody else takes him. It felt the way at the time. So what does Green Bay get in the trade? Will they get pick 50? Well, it turns out to be Jaden Reed. All right, well, that seems to be pretty good. But what do they get at 159? Well, that's Dontayvion Wicks. That seems to be pretty good. But what do they get at 179? Well, that was Carl Brooks. That seems to be pretty good as well. So this is one of those trades that I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at what Tampa got out of it, but it turned out pretty well for both Green Bay and Detroit. Brian Branch, like I said, has been phenomenal in Detroit. Goody somehow trades down from pick 45 to pick 50, ends up getting Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, and Carl Brooks out of it. That is like just unbelievable. That is a GM dream scenario. And guess what? Great trades are ones that ultimately do work out for both sides. Now, maybe a little bit less so when you're trading in the division. You'd maybe like it to not work out for your division opponent a little bit more. But in general, it works out better if trades work out for both teams. I think this worked out for Brian Branch. It certainly worked out for the Lions. I think it worked out for Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, and Carl Brooks, and it certainly worked out for the Packers as well. So that's one of those win-win scenarios, and Goody just did a phenomenal job trading down, still getting Jaden Reed, and then picking up extra draft capital that also turned into two really good players in Wicks and Carl Brooks. All right, next let's talk about the Rasul Douglas trade. Rasul Douglas, I know a lot of people still, I think that it was Rasul Douglas for a third-round pick. Ish, it was Rasul Douglas for a third-round pick, but the Packers also gave up a fifth round pick in 2024 for that third round pick in 2024. So it wasn't just Rasul for a third, it was a Rasul for moving up from the fifth round to the third round and swapping those picks. Now this one's interesting, and it gets even a little bit more interesting when you look at the players that were selected. The Buffalo Bills, actually let's start with the Packers. The Packers with that pick in the third round, 91st overall, select Tyron Hopper, the linebacker. I think that was one of the picks that people were a little bit more questioning from the Packers draft this past year. Will he pay off? Was he the right selection? So on and so forth. So I think a lot of people in and of itself are saying Rasul Douglas for Tyron Hopper, just give me Rasul Douglas. Add on that to the fact that with pick 160 overall, the Buffalo Bills selected Justice Mosqueda, an Andy Herman favorite, and I know others as well, at the same position as Tyron Hopper, linebacker Edifuan Ulufashio, who was a really fun prospect to study in this draft out of the University of Washington. Buffalo gets him at pick 160. I know a lot of people, Packer fans going into the draft, if you would have said you can have Ulufashio or Tyron Hopper, they would have just taken Ulufashio. I am one of those people. Not knowing, again, where they were both going to end up, I had Ulufashio graded well ahead of Tyron Hopper in this past draft. So this will be an interesting one to keep an eye on, is just who got the better linebacker, the Packers with Hopper at pick 91 or the Bills with Ulufashio in the fifth round at pick 160. And then, of course, the Bills also got Rasul Douglas in this trade, which helped them a little bit last year. Clearly, Buffalo didn't get to where they wanted to go, but he's still on the roster now. Still going to be a core starting corner for them. And in the meantime, Green Bay probably could have used a guy like Rasul Douglas in the playoffs last year against San Francisco. That probably would have been helpful. And now he still would have been under contract this year. Now, Green Bay does get some salary cap savings in the Rasul trade as well, which is always important, but it wasn't a massive amount of savings. I also believe that Rasul would have been a absolute perfect fit for this Jeff Hafley defense. Now, how you go about figuring out, all right, you've got Jair, Rasul, you've got Keyshawn in the slot, you still got Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes. I think they probably just saw the amount of corners and said, all right, we got to do something here. Plus they got the opportunity to get a top 100 pick. But I think this is one where you could at least make the argument that in hindsight, I probably would have kept Rizul and just taken Ulufashio at pick 160 or whatever player they wanted at that spot. And I'm okay a little bit more with losing out on Hopper, especially knowing that they already, you know, took Edrin Cooper and could have got another linebacker that I really liked at pick 160. Now, this is very clearly benefit of hindsight stuff. Green Bay didn't know that at the time, and I'm sure they're still very excited about Tyron Hopper. My guess is if you had to ask Green Bay today if they would still do that deal, the answer would probably be yes. The other butterfly effect thing that we need to discuss here a little bit is we don't know how that Rasul Douglas trade affected the rest of the season. I personally don't believe that Rasul Douglas was any sort of issue. I think he was a great locker room leader. I think he was a player that was respected by other teammates on the team. I don't think there was any advantage, like locker room wise or morale wise, to trading away Rasul Douglas. I will say this though, after Rasul got traded, was sort of the time a couple weeks later when the team started taking off and they went on their one, through the remainder of the season with some hiccups along the way. I still personally believe that the Packers would have been better with Rasul, but I also am like, I don't know how much I want to change because, you know, a couple weeks later, everything takes off. Like I said, I don't think Rasul affects any of that, but I'm not willing to really butterfly affect anything. The rest of that season was exactly what it needed to be for this young team. They picked up an extra third round pick in the process. So I don't know that I'm going back in the DeLorean and changing anything if I could, but this is one of the trades that you can absolutely look at and say, all right, would I rather have Rasul and pick 160 or Tyron Hopper? I'm probably taking Rasul and pick 160, and we'll have to kind of figure out the salary. But they have enough salary. They have plenty of salary cap space, especially after Devondre Campbell, you know, came off the books with the June 1st designation. They have plenty of space. They could have easily kept Rasul. So I think this is one that you could look back on a little bit even right now and say, maybe just keep Douglas in the fifth round pick rather than having that extra third to take Tyron Hopper. All right, Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams was traded for picks 22 and 53. 22 was Quay Walker. They utilized pick 53 and another second round pick, pick 59, to move up and take Christian Watson. They also, again, with Devontae, had a huge chunk of salary cap savings with this as well, which has definitely benefited the Packers in being able to utilize some of that money to resign some of their own free agents, as well as go out and sign other free agents as well. It's also important to note here that Devontae Adams wanted out of Green Bay. He was adamant that he was not going to play for Green Bay. He wanted to play for the Raiders. I actually think Goody did a tremendous job here in getting as much value as he could for a player that clearly was not going to stay in Green Bay and that clearly only wanted to go to the Raiders. So to get them to give up a first and second round pick still in that scenario, I think was super savvy of Goody. Now, Quay Walker, pick 22, hasn't quite lived up to expectations yet. Christian Watson, utilizing two second round picks to trade up to get him, has been interesting. When he's been out on the field, he's been great. He's not been out on the field enough. He's had some of those injuries that have certainly affected him. Even when he's been on the field, some of those injuries definitely affected him as well. Again, they did receive some of that salary cap savings, which is always worth noting. I think what we have to look here is at, like, did they utilize the picks in the right way? Now, at pick 22 with Quay Walker, the next three picks, Tyler Smith, really good offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys. Tyler Linderbaum, really great center for the Ravens. And Jermaine Johnson, good edge rusher for the Jets. Another Packers draft favorite in that one, at least was one of mine for sure, was George Karlaftis, who had a really great postseason for the Chiefs last year. He was another one that was still on the clock at that point. So you can go back a little bit and say, all right, could they have maybe, you know, just kept the two second round picks, or, you know, could they have maybe kept pick 22, but utilized it to take Tyler Smith, Tyler Linderbaum, or Jermaine Johnson, or George Karlaftis? Maybe that gets very hindsighty, but I think overall this deal made sense. Again, they got a first and second round pick. What those turn into will remain to be seen, and how good Quay and Christian can be moving forward. But getting the salary cap savings, getting as much as they possibly could out of a player who clearly wanted out and probably wasn't going to do more than just the franchise tag for the one season, I think this deal was smart for Green Bay. If you're looking back at picks 53 through 59, and, you know, should Green Bay have not traded those for Christian Watson, they didn't miss out a ton in that range. There wasn't a ton of big time playmakers that have developed from that range of the draft so far. So getting Christian Watson still makes sense. He just needs to live up to that hype and show what he's capable of while staying healthy in 2024. Overall, don't mind this trade. Think maybe they could have done a couple things a little bit different, but getting a first and second for a player that clearly wanted out, I thought was good business for Goody. Another interesting, very small trade. Packers traded Cole Van Lannen for a future seventh round pick. And with that future seventh round pick in 2023, they took Anthony Johnson Jr. So Anthony Johnson Jr. on the team right now because they found a trade for Cole Van Lannen, who I can assure you they were probably going to release anyway. They found a trade partner, picked up a future seventh. And right now, Anthony Johnson Jr. has been starting next to Xavier McKinney. I don't know that that's going to stay that way, but still, they got a player out of it where they clearly could have just cut him and never received anything, but they did their due diligence, got that pick, and it turns up being a player that maybe or maybe not will make an impact. But right now, I'm happy Anthony Johnson Jr. is on this team. In 2021, they traded a future pick for Randall Cobb, and that ended up being the 205th pick in the 2022 draft. Now, clearly that trade was made to get Aaron Rodgers to come back. He wasn't going to do it without Randall Cobb. They gave up pick 205 to get Rodgers back. It all made sense. Cobb was fine. I think a little bit undercut Amari Rodgers, who they had drafted earlier, but it is what it is. It was sort of a necessary move in order to get Rodgers back, which was probably a necessary move because Jordan wasn't quite ready yet. If you're wondering who they could have, you know, got with that pick 205, Austin Deckelis was the player drafted. I can almost tell you for sure who they would have taken if they were on the clock. Probably one of two players that are currently on the Packers lineup. Either Luke Tenuta, who went pick 209, who they liked enough to claim later off of waivers, or Lasita Smith, who is now currently on the Packers, who was a rookie tryout or was in rookie minicamps this year for a tryout, and the Packers gave him a contract for the 90-man roster. They liked both of those guys clearly in the draft and are still hopeful that they can develop. But my guess is if they didn't trade that pick for Randall Cobb, they probably would have taken Luke Tenuta or Lasita Smith. And the great news is they got both of those guys anyway. So that draft trade for Randall Cobb, I don't think cost Green Bay anything whatsoever. Josh Jackson for Isaac Yiadom, that for both teams never really worked out, but it is interesting looking back. Yiadom had a really good season last year for New Orleans. In fact, he played a great game against the Packers in their week two matchup. The Falcons was two and the Saints was three, I think. Either way, Yiadom had a really good game. He went on to have a really nice season. He got a decent free agent deal in the offseason. Green Bay won that trade. It's just Yiadom did nothing for them. He did not look good as a corner when he was out on the field, and I don't think quite became the special teams player they were hoping for. Josh Jackson did nothing either. That would have been one where if Yiadom stuck around and actually played the way that he did a season ago in New Orleans, would have been maybe a bigger trade for Green Bay, but instead it just ended up kind of not working out for both sides. Also, they traded, I don't know if you guys remember this, they traded pick 136 and pick 30 to move up to pick 26 and drafted Jordan Love. That was a pretty big move for Green Bay in hindsight. If you're wondering, one of the things that I said at the time when he was immediately drafted is a lot of people were saying, I hated that they moved up for Jordan Love. If they just would have taken him at pick 30, I could have been a little bit more understanding, but why did they have to trade up for him? Why did they have to go up and get him? Well, clearly, number one, Green Bay loved Jordan Love. And number two, they, you know, felt like they needed to move up in order to acquire him. They had a good enough grade on him that they wanted to. The thing that I've joked the entire time is like, what they traded pick 136. Pick 147 in that draft was a fifth rounder. Like, they're basically trading a fifth round pick. If you don't have the conviction to trade up a fifth round pick to go and get your guy at quarterback, you should not be drafting him in the first place. Like, that is nothing to give up in a draft day trade. So that pick is almost nothing whatsoever. Now, of course, we all know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, Green Bay could have taken T. Higgins in that draft instead of Jordan Love. It's still a conversation I hear from time to time. One of the things to remember, T. Higgins was never going to be a Packer. He was like a 1 point something relative athletic score guy. I don't know if it was quite that low, but he was a brutal relative athletic score guy. Like, he's just nowhere near on Green Bay's radar based on any of their draft profile or history in the past. So as much as it's more likely they would have taken some of the players that have completely, you know, been busts in this league, a guy like a Jeff Gladney at quarterback, who, yes, I know he has passed away, so I'm not trying to talk ill here, but he did not turn out and was released from Minnesota. And then he went to Arizona prior to any of his, obviously a very unfortunate situation with what happened to him. But, there are other players that have completely flamed out of the league that were right around those draft picks. And it's just as easy that they could have received or, drafted one of those players rather than a Jordan Love or rather than the T. Higgins that they could have got. Like everyone wanted them to, apparently. But like I said, I don't think Higgins was ever really probably high on their board. And I think the other thing that's funny is nobody ever really mentions, yeah, they could have had T. Higgins at pick 30. They also could have had L'Jarius Sneed, who was taken not far off at pick 136. He was taken right around that range as well. So they could have had T. Higgins and L'Jarius Sneed if we're really going to play the who was best there right around that draft pick sort of standpoint. But again, I don't think they were going to certainly draft T. Higgins. Who knows if they even have L'Jarius Sneed rated high on their board. And even with every benefit of hindsight, you're definitely taking Jordan Love there if they could have. So ends up being a pretty big move for Green Bay. And then here's the other thing. It's not just the trades that you do make. A lot of times it's the trades that you don't make. Remember, Green Bay was trying to get Darren Waller in that trade for Devontae Adams. And that probably would have taken away one of the second round picks, which means that you don't have Christian Watson. Darren Waller has not gone on to have a good couple seasons. Now, they still would add another second round pick. Maybe they would have taken somebody like a Brian Cook, the safety out of Cincinnati, who had a super high relative athletic score and just screamed off the page as like a potential Green Bay Packer. They had a huge need at safety. That's the type of guy I think they could have targeted. But would you have rather had, you know, Christian Watson or Darren Waller and Brian Cook? I think you probably want Christian Watson. And certainly, again, you don't want to give that contract to Darren Waller. It has not worked out for him whatsoever. Now it looks like he's probably retiring from the league. So not getting Darren Waller, I think, was actually probably a pretty good thing. Chase Claypool, they tried to trade for him with a 2023 second round pick. The Bears, thankfully, gave a 2023 second round pick. And the Steelers said, yeah, they thought the Bears were going to be worse. So they took the Bears pick. And rightfully so, the Bears were, in fact, worse. And they got the better draft pick out of it. But thank goodness for the Bears for doing that, because the Packers almost traded for Chase Claypool, which, as we know now, would have been an unmitigated disaster. Meanwhile, the pick that they did not trade away for Chase Claypool ends up being that series of trades that we talked about earlier in the Brian Branch situation, where they got Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Carl Brooks. Can you imagine if they did not have Jaden Reed, they did not have Dontavian Wicks, and they did not have Carl Brooks, and instead got like five games out of Chase Claypool where he did absolutely nothing? What a disaster that would have been. So there's a world, and kudos to Wendell Ferreira for bringing this up on A to Z Sports, who did a really nice article on trades that they could have made specifically here with Waller and Claypool. But he mentions, you know, instead of having Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Carl Brooks, plus, you know, losing some salary cap space, they could have had Darren Waller and Chase Claypool. What an absolute nightmare. And there were some other trade deadline trades that they were also looking to consider in the past. Emmanuel Sanders, Will Fuller. I don't think, certainly the Will Fuller one would have been a disaster. And I don't think Emmanuel Sanders would have put them over the top either. So sometimes it is worth saying that the best deals are the ones that you don't make. And the Chase Claypool and Darren Waller ones are a really great example of that, with deals that they tried to do, didn't get done, and it ended up working out way better. Now, I don't know if we can give Goody credit, because he was trying to acquire both of those players. In fact, it was a rule that saved them from Darren Waller. And it was just the fact that the Bears made a better offer that saved them from Chase Claypool. So you still get some demerit marks here for trying to make those deals, but it certainly worked out in Green Bay's favor that neither of those were able to get done. So again, sometimes the deals are the best deals are the ones that you do make. Trading up for Jordan Love, a great example of that. Sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make. Darren Waller, Chase Claypool, examples of that. And then sometimes the trades are best when they work for both sides. Brian Branch for Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Carl Brooks. That worked out for both teams very, very well. Overall, I think a really great batch of trades for Green Bay. The Rodgers trade makes a ton of sense. The Adams trade made sense at the time. We'll see what the draft picks end up, you know, what the players from those draft picks end up becoming. The Lions draft day trade to pick up Wicks, Brooks, and Reed, masterclass. The Rasul one, a little bit more interesting. Cole Van Landen for Anthony Johnson Jr. The Randall Cobb trade did not haunt them by any means. And the Jordan Love trade was epic. It was amazing. So overall, I think Goody's done a really nice job. Some things that he can probably reevaluate and hopefully learning from others' mistakes, specifically in the Chase Claypool situation. But nice job by Goody in navigating the trade market in numerous years. And again, acquiring some very young and talented talent in doing so and setting his team up better to succeed. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be right back here tomorrow with the breakdown of Tuesday's OTA session. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Pauletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, and Arnaldo Espinoza. Arnaldo, I don't know why. And I think it's going from Alex Huang to Arnaldo Espinoza. I don't know. I just need to slow down, I guess. Arnaldo, you're the best. Thank you for being a member. I'm going to get it right tomorrow. I guarantee it, Charles Barkley style. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.